had several name changes since then, but it's a online group of pastors, Pentecostal pastors primarily, who talk about basically what's going on in our churches and ministry in Canada. And it's been neat through that, following what God has been doing through Tim and his ministry over the years. It was the summer before last I actually got to meet Tim face to face. Sue and I had come down to British Columbia to attend a friend's wedding. And we came over to the island. He met us down at the docks. And the first thing he did was drive us, would you believe it, through Sydney. And all I remember was, yeah, this is a cute little town. Had no idea what would transpire. And he took us into the legislative buildings over in Victoria, and it was wonderful to hear the passion of his heart and to see what God is doing across the country. Much of what we see in the media concerning our governments is oh so negative. But God is doing something behind the scenes through men such as Tim Schindel that will blow your mind away. And so without further ado, I'd like us to give a great Sydney, South Peninsula welcome to Tim Schindel this morning.
Thank you, Ralph. Well, good morning, Sydney. Can I do some housekeeping here and just make myself at home? Would anyone mind? It's too late. I'm doing it anyway. Here, just take all of that, Ralph.
And
Pastor Ralph, I'm sorry. You know, you should be thankful that I didn't drive him through Oak Bay on that particular day. Because sooner or later, you're going to discover that he will really wear black socks, shorts, and sandals. And you know that the only place, I mean, unless I've missed something, the only place that that actually flies anywhere in the Capital Regional District is Oak Bay. So, you know, if you're ever feeling like you really want to go off the charts, Ralph, you can, you know, cruise over to Oak Bay, pick up some tea at the tea house, wear your black socks, and I don't think Sue would go with you anymore. She's become fully West Coasted already, and she's all over it. Let me just, my iPad's having some orientation issues today, so. But seems to be okay. A little inside joke there for some of you. Well, great to be with you today and to worship with you. I was thinking about this on the way out. My wife is leading worship. Barb is leading worship at City Light this morning, pinch hitting for them because their worship people are all scattered over creation. Our oldest son is playing on the worship team at Callwood this morning. Our youngest son is working at a baseball clinic out here in Panorama. And our daughter and her best friend are recovering from leading the junior high ministry at Callwood. And so we've kind of got the Capital Regional District covered today. But I would say this. Let me say this, worship team, wherever you are. Barb would have loved being here today. She leads all over the place and is a piano voice teacher and all those other things. She would have loved the accordion. Like, she would have been freaking out. I have to tell you, as it started to unfold, it was like, oh, my phone's in the office. I should have been videotaping this. This is so cool. So if you want to do a video and then send it to me, that would be grand. But, I mean, for Barb, like accordions and violins and a recorder that actually you can bear to listen to. You know, I mean, like, wow. So what a great time to worship with you. And just really enjoyed the worship today. So that was fantastic. So we're going to go to the PowerPoint because, now Ralph said, like, kickoff is not till 3 o'clock this afternoon. So I should just take my time. You'll chuckle at this a little bit. I preached at a church last week and pastor was away. And I said, so, you know, like, how much time do I have? And he said, well, you know, we're going to worship for an hour. And then you're going to get the pulpit about 11:30, and we're used to going home about 12:30, but if you need to go longer, feel free. And I thought, like, seriously? You're going to give me a full hour? And I went for 56 minutes. And I'm not really proud of that, but I went for 56 minutes, and they all hung with me, but I don't think that you're just much too nice to do that, too. You know, two weeks in a row. So let me tell you a little bit about what I do. For those of you that don't know, I did bring some newsletters. They are at the back. There's just a handful left because we're kind of in between seasons here. But for those of you that don't know what I do and the organization that I work with, let me tell you a little bit about us as we go along. So we are called Leading Influence. And do I get that on this screen too, or do I have to? Does it look like it? Okay, no problem. I can do it this way. So here's a little bit about what we do. Our vision is to serve and support leaders across Canada by pointing them to the wisdom, strength, and hope of Jesus. So it's been a number of years since I've been here, but let me give you an example of kind of what we're doing and what it looks like. So by the numbers, we pray for the leaders of 71% of Canadians all across the country. So every day somewhere across Canada, we're praying for a leader, just God would help them and be with them in some form or fashion. Those 71% represent 52% of the Canadian leaders all across Canada. So anyone who's elected to a federal or provincial office, we're praying for 52% of those people, all the way from British Columbia to Ontario. So that's kind of an gives you a little indication of some growth. And we actually serve, now including Ontario, 337 provincial leaders on a daily basis, Monday to Friday. So since we've been here, some of you would know, well, yeah, he does this thing in BC, down at the legislature, and I do. Just give me two more clicks and we'll be caught up. Okay, we can. We're just going to carry on. And when the screen catches up, that's okay. So we launched here in 2007. Actually, the throne speech happens on Tuesday. And you know what? I mean, if you ever just kind of wanted, if you had nothing else to do. There you go. Thanks. There you go. No, it's perfect. One more click. Two more clicks. There you go. That's good. If you had nothing else to do and you wanted to come down just to kind of to see the show, you could come down to the legislature on Tuesday at about 1 o'clock. And let me tell you, it's a great show. It's like the circus comes to town. And it's like the circus comes to town because you know, I mean, like you know, there's all the sort of pomp and circumstance of the throne speech. So you know, that the military is represented there, the RCMP is represented there. You know, the lieutenant governor comes and does all the inspection of the guard, and that's all really cool. But the real circus is all the protesters who come. And you just have to come and see the signs and see the antics and see the performance because, honestly, it's like better than TV. It's better than Netflix. It's better than Netflix. My favorite was a number of years ago. We live in this great country where free speech is just part of the deal, and you can say and do what you want, right? If you want to protest the government, et cetera, it's okay to do that. And so the band, the Naden band, the military band, plays, and it's really impressive, and they do a little march around, and they come up the Circle Drive off Belleville Street, and it's pretty cool. In the midst of it, a protester jumps out in front dressed like a court jester. It's the West Coast, right? And so there he is, and he's got some kind of fake mace thing and done up in his costume, and he's waving and conducting and the whole bit. But he has obviously not seen how the parade works. And so he's running down, he's going down the front of Belleville Street, and he's leading the, you know, and everybody just kind of watches him go by because it's free speech. And so everybody just watches him go by. But he doesn't realize that the band takes a sharp right when they get to Government Street. He forgets that they take a sharp right, and by the time he realizes that the band's no longer in front of him, he's in front of the museum. Looking rather silly, because there's nothing quite like leading a band, leading a parade, when nobody's following. That could be a great leadership lesson, couldn't it? You could take that to the bank. You could do some fun things. Anyway, so it was actually 8 years ago, on Tuesday, that we got our first start in the BC legislature. Was kind of a cool thing. And since then, we've launched in Alberta in 2013 and in Saskatchewan with a full-time chaplain in 2014 and in Manitoba with a prayer network in 2014. And last year, we just felt like God was calling us to plant our flag in Ontario by the end of 2015. And we had no idea what that was going to look like, how all of that was going to happen. And in a unique kind of way, Jesus opened a door for me to do Ontario. And so I get to commute, thank you, Jesus. Because there's a lot of things I like about Ontario, or Toronto, but I'm not really so keen on the winter. But although this year hasn't been too bad, but most years it's really not a pleasant place to be. So it kind of looks like this, that 1 week a month I will fly out and spend some time there. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that kind of as we go along. We've seen some neat things happen along the way as God has opened some doors for us. And here's what we see, is that everywhere we go, in every province that we go into, we find open doors. We find open doors. We would think that the doors would be closed, but in fact, the doors are wide open. We find open doors. We find open lives. It's interesting. In Alberta last year, you know, they had an election, and they chose a different color of government. And it's funny how in the church we think that Jesus prefers blue. We think that Jesus prefers blue, and some people here might think that Jesus would prefer red, or maybe because it's North Sandwich in Sydney, you might even think Jesus likes green. And I'm just being cheeky today. But, you know, I mean, not many of us would think that Jesus would have much to do with an orange government. And yet, here's what we discovered. That after the election, where prior to the election, in a province that had been blue forever, we just couldn't find a break. We couldn't find an open door. We couldn't find even a crack in it, or we just couldn't get in. We did our best, but we just couldn't get in. And then the government changes, and we began to explore some new opportunities and make some contacts. And we find, in this whole changing of the guard in Alberta, 14 or 15 men and women from all different political colors, all following Jesus, all believing that Jesus has called them to serve. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And it underscores this deal that, you know, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Right? Red and, let me get the colors right, red and blue and orange and green, right? It's something we thought would never be seen. There, I just made that up. That's not bad. That would sell. But we see God at work in the midst of it and in key places of leadership within these caucuses in Alberta. So it's a fun and it's an interesting thing, tremendous opportunities. Let me tell you what happened in Ontario. My first day at Queen's Park in Toronto, I was given some information, kind of a list of people that I should contact by a guy who, he came to Jesus in his 30s. I said, tell me how you came to faith. He's a lobbyist. He said, tell me how you came to faith. He said, I just got tired. He said, I got tired of partying and chasing women and lusting and sinning. He said, I just got tired of the whole thing. And he said, I had to figure out how to find a new life. And I just started watching people. And I saw some people who were Christians. And I started tracking along with them. And he said, I don't believe everything that they hold to. But he said, I really liked the Jesus part of who they were. It's like, really? You watched people and you saw something in them that was so attractive that you decided to follow Jesus? Yeah. It's like, well, that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So he directs me to this person. I'm not going to mention her name, but let me describe it to you. She is the NDP caucus chair in Ontario. She is a United Church minister. She did the first same-sex wedding in Ontario, and she is the critic for LGBTQ issues in Ontario, which is like way left. I mean, we're left, but like they're another light year left, double left. And so I have some expectations about what I think this meeting is going to be like. Went in, sat down with her. She was warm and welcoming, and we began to talk about ministry and faith. And I discovered this, that even though I don't get all of the dynamics around the stuff that's happened in her history and in her world, this lady loves Jesus. She loves Jesus. And so I'm not going to get hung up on what she did or didn't do and what she did or didn't say or who she does and doesn't represent, because none of that's really my business. I just know that God has put her in this place. And so we're chatting a little bit, and she says, Tim, you know, I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing across the country. I love what you're bringing. And she says, let me tell you something. She says, you know, in Ottawa, they're praying all the time in Ottawa. The MPs gather, and they pray together, and it's a bipartisan thing, and staff meets together, and they pray together. And she says, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I've actually been a part of establishing a prayer room at Queen's Park. No, do tell. You know, and I mean, and so for her, it's like, well, you know, there's all this Muslim staff, and they need a place to pray. And so I just pressed and pressed and pressed until we were able to get a interdenominational or interfaith prayer room. Now, I know, some of us go, interfaith prayer rooms. You know what? It's a different world than it used to be. It's a different world than it used to be. And if by providing Muslim workers a place to pray during the day gives me a place to have a prayer room in a key government building in Canada, then I'm really okay with that. Yeah, I'm really okay with that because I could kind of do a Mars Hill thing with that. It would be all right by me. I could do that, right? Because Jesus is king, and we'll let the Muslims do their thing, and then I can meet later and pray with brothers and sisters who want to follow Jesus. But this is what she said to me. She said, Tim, let's work together to make this a spiritual place. In the largest parliament in all of Canada, next to Ottawa, let's work together to make this a spiritual place. I said, you have a deal. Let's get busy on working on that. So we're going to do a little bit about that. Here's what we believe. This is kind of our ethos. This is what we're all about. We believe this, that if we can reach leaders, we can shape nations. If we can reach leaders, if we can impact leaders, then we can shape nations. And we can see God do something incredible. And how is it already 5 to 12 when I just got started? But anyway, here's some things that you can do to partner with us. You can commit to us financially. I know some of you have done that in the past. We got a budget. You can pray with us. You can pray for us and everything else. There's some newsletters at the back, and we'll get to that later. Let me really quickly, because I do want to respect some time, because, you know, I'd like to get invited back here sometime. But let me tell you, I'm going to do this as quickly as I can. I watched the swearing in of the federal cabinet in, I don't know when it was, November, something like that. And I'm probably one of the few people in the world who actually gets to watch the swearing in of a government and call it work. And so I was quite interested to do that. And it's going along, you know, it's different people. And it's like, oh, isn't this is kind of really interesting. And to see who's going where and, you know, where these people come from and what their background is. And then they called the Honorable Jane Philpott. The Honorable Jane Philpott, member from Markham, I think, or North York, somewhere on the north side of Toronto. And she was named the Minister of Health. She was named the Minister of Health. And as she was going up to sign the book and take her oath of office, the commentators said this, that she is a former board member and worship leader in her church. Well, that caught my attention. She's a former board member and worship leader in her church, and she was actually, they alluded to this sad story, this sad moment in her life where she had, her and her husband had been on a medical mission in Africa. I think they were in Uganda, a medical mission in Uganda, and their 3-year-old daughter contracted spinal meningitis and was dead within 24 hours. So, now, some of you kind of been, you know, you've been around a little bit. Maybe you know the story of Hudson Taylor. And you'll know that Hudson Taylor got on a boat and headed off to China and buried a daughter, I think, and a wife in China. And immediately, for whatever reason, when I heard the story about her losing her daughter in Africa, I thought immediately of Hudson Taylor and how he had this clarity of purpose and mission. He went on to establish China Inland Mission and so on. But I'm thinking to myself, how interesting it is that this woman came home from Africa, went back to medical practice, went back to serving, and then got involved in a political process. Now think about this, that of all of the people who ran for political office in Canada, of all of the people who ran for political office in all of Canada, that God would put his hand on a lady named Jane Philpott, who was a board member and worship leader in a Mennonite church on the north side of Toronto, so you know that she's got an Orthodox sound faith, and he would put her in the most influential position next to the prime ministers at this time and season in our nation. It's an amazing thing to me to see how that God always has skin in the game. How God always has skin in the game. It's a financial expression. It means to have an investment in the, have money in the stock market or have money in an investment. And you're because you're invested, you're interested and you're paying attention and you're doing whatever you can. And if you got money in the stock market right now, you know, your hair is probably a little whiter. Your blood pressure is probably a little higher. But it's this interesting thing to see how God always has skin in the game. And if we had time this morning to walk through it all, and we don't, but I would take you to look at people like Joseph and Daniel and Esther and Nehemiah. And those four names span 1,500 years of history. 1,500 years of history. But they are examples of how God always has skin in the game, how God is always putting people in positions of influence and using them to influence the destiny of nations. If I could take you, and I've never been in a cabinet meeting in British Columbia, don't expect I will ever get to a cabinet meeting in British Columbia unless I lose my mind and actually run for office. And my wife says that's never going to happen. Yeah, run from office. But you know what? If I was to take you to that cabinet meeting and we could just be flies on a wall, I would say, see that person over there? That key position of influence? That man loves Jesus. See that lady over there? That lady loves Jesus. Committed to his purposes. See that person over there? Not really in the kingdom, but not far away either. See that person over there? Very favorably inclined. Very favorably inclined. Because God always has skin in the game. He is always working out his purposes. And so kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. And we know that from the scriptures that God raises kings up and he lowers them down according to his purposes. I watched it happen in British Columbia. I watched it happen. It was a stunning thing for me to watch Gordon Campbell, who I thought was a brilliant premier, just as a leader, brilliant guy, you know, like him, not like him, whatever, did a remarkable job of turning our province around, positioning us for growth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in a moment, makes absurd political decisions that cost him his job. It's like, why does that happen? Why does that happen? Well, you know, we could have all kinds of different ideas. I'm not endorsing him or anything like that. I'm just saying, listen, here's an example, right? But God brings in someone else. Again, you don't have to like her. You don't have to like her at all. But she trained for ministry. Wanted to be an Anglican minister, right? Has a heart inclined to Jesus. Now, she's got to do a lot of other things politically. I mean, again, I'm not defending or endorsing or standing or anything like that. I'm just saying here's a glimpse inside the leader's life. Here's this person who grew up in Sunday school. Well, that's really interesting. You don't have to like, again, right? It's like, person who wanted nothing to do with Jesus. God moves him aside, raises somebody up who's inclined to Jesus. Interesting to me to see how these things work in behind the scenes. Because God always has skin in the game. Now we know that, so that in the big picture, God always has skin in the game. But in the small picture, God always has skin in the game too. God always has skin in the game. God is always investing. And he does it on the micro level. So he does it on your street through you. He has skin in the game because he cares so much about the people who live on your street that he plants you there. Not to complain about how fast people go on the street like I sometimes do, right? Not to, you know, complain about who's doing what or whatever, but instead to be salt and light in that place. To influence families and generations to the cross that they might be saved. He planted you on your street. He planted you in your retirement complex. He put you on that floor of your strata for a particular reason. He planted your church here where it is with great visibility next to this amazing school next door and down the road from another one for a reason. It's all strategic. It's all intentional. It's all according to God's big master plan. He has skin in the game. His skin in the game. And he does this remarkable thing. If we were to look at the life of Joseph, he does this remarkable thing of giving his people favor and opportunity and blessing and promotes us and puts us in places we should never be. I mean, honestly, look at me. I made a career out of walking down hallways that I have no business walking down. Right? Except that God opens doors for me. Right? Except that God opens doors for me. I watch other people in situations where it's like really way, way over our heads. But here we are because God has called us and God is with us. Oh, it's so tempting to really preach Joseph today. But I really want to come back another time. I caught a glimpse of my socks. So I was going to preach on Joseph's coat of many colors today. And I'll tell you really a quick story, and I'm going to pray and we'll go. But these socks were bought for me. Remember Ralph Klein, Premier of Alberta, right? His brother Lynn and I have become really good friends. We hang out at the gallery together in the legislature. And Lynn brought me these socks. And Lynn's kind of, he's close, so close to the kingdom. And he says he would have no idea how lovely on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news. But in the card that he wrote for me, it was the funniest thing. I come into the building and somebody goes, there's a package for you at security. Like, why? Why is there? Did you get your package at security? No. Honey, go up to security. It's like, oh, Tim, we got a package for you. They're all excited. Open it, open it. It's all wrapped. Like, it's wrapped nicer than what I get under the Christmas tree. It's wrapped really nice. I open it up. There's three or four pairs of socks like this. He'd gone down to the bay, bought me these socks. And he says this, the one who brings good news should have fancy feet. Right? Amazing, huh? But so close. He's so close. It's like one day I'm going to get to really bring him right through. I mean, he's right there, you know? That's this fun thing. But you know what? We don't really have a lot more time. So I'm going to pray for you that God would use you as skin in the game. Would that be okay? Would that be all right? And then if you want to chat later, we can visit after church. So Jesus, thank you so much just for the opportunity to be here today and to share a little bit of what you've given me to do and to encourage the church here in Sydney with the great things that you're doing all across our country in the lives of leaders. Father, I pray that you would give us great hope for our nation, that you would give us, you would fill us with confidence around our future, despite what we see in the news, despite what we read in the paper, despite what we hear on the radio. Oh God, help us as your people to see past all of that and to listen instead to the voice of the Spirit and to what you're saying to us. I thank you for the life and the vibrancy here at Highway. I thank you for what you're doing in their midst, how you are preparing them and advancing them and positioning them for new days and brighter days and better days and good days ahead. I thank you for these people who you have positioned strategically all through the peninsula as skin in the game. You haven't called them just to kind of walk out their days and go through the motions, but instead you have called them to be people of influence. People of influence. Position them to be people who will point others to you through just the way they live, the way they talk, the things that they talk about, and the way that they talk about them. God, would you empower them? Would you anoint them? Would you enable them? Would you enable them to be skin in the game wherever they might be? That in days to come, this church would be filled and this community would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Pastor Ralph.
Amen. Let's show our appreciation this morning. And Tim, we're going to have you back soon. How many would agree with that? I'm going to invite the. I haven't forgotten. I see the envelopes. I've done this deliberately. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our offering this morning. And if you have been blessed by Tim's message this morning and the Lord has been speaking to you about how you can be part of blessing this ministry, this province, and this nation, you can do it two ways. One, of course, you can be praying for your legislature. I was part of a ministry called Pray Ontario before coming here, and it was a group of people who we were given the names of the members of the legislature in Toronto, and we had to actually write out prayers that we published on Facebook. You know how difficult it is to be critical of your political leaders when you're praying for them? You can't. You can pray for them. Pray for our members down in Victoria and in Ottawa, our MPs. And the second way that you can partner, of course, is financially. And on your envelope, there is a line there called Other. If you would like to support Tim in his ministry, Tim, can they put lead? Is it Leading Influence? Just put Leading Influence there on that line with your whatever gift you would like to give, and we will make sure that it gets to where it needs to be. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we're just been full today. And Father, just bless God continually this offering that we offer to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Ushers, and I have no idea if the worship team was coming back. I have no idea. But next weekend, it's going to be a great weekend. Friday night is our Valentine's dinner and a movie. And I have the sheets actually up here, Sue. I'll get them back to you. So if you haven't signed up yet, please do so this morning. Don't forget, if you're a member, the nomination forms are in the back. And next Sunday morning, it's Valentine's Sunday. I can't remember the last time we had church on Valentine's, but it's going to be a very special morning, and there's going to be a very special presentation. I will have a message to share, but there's going to be a testimony given. And some people have asked us, Pastor, how did you and Sue get together? And I've told some people the story. Well, next week, Sue is going to tell you the truth. So please be in prayer for next weekend. Bring a friend, and we're going to have a great time together. God bless you. Thank you for giving. Let's stand together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.